Because we are together in this amazing way that God has ordained, this one flesh, I don't understand it totally, but because that's the case, based on the paradigm of Eve coming from Adam, we got to love her wife. She's part of you. Live according to knowledge.
Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we conclude our look at 1 Peter chapter 3.
Yes, we do, Dave, and I hope this detour from our Colossians series to 1 Peter chapter 3 has been a blessing to help us understand how we are to live in the marriage relationship. So with that in mind, let's finish our look at 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 7.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast, as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
That means we need help. Absolutely. We have deficiencies that our wives help us with. There's a union. There's bringing together in this context. It speaks of support. And again, as I shared, it often speaks of divine help. Psalm 20, verse 2. May he send you help. That's our word from the sanctuary. May he support you. The idea we see in parallel, support. Help and support. We need to understand that is part of the role of our wives. We need to dwell with them, understanding this is what God has ordained. According to wisdom, we dwell with them. And there are so many passages I could read you concerning God being our helper. Some other time we can look at those. But specifically here, there is no way this is demeaning in any way. Otherwise, you're saying God being a helper is demeaning. It's the role, as we'll see, not the person. But the role right now. Men, we need to be aware that God has ordained our spouses to help us. Sometimes we are, and I've been certainly specifically prideful that we don't allow them to support us and help us. That we try to do everything ourselves rather than allowing our wives to be our partners in that sense to support and help us in the context of a right relationship, whereas we saw earlier in chapter 3. We need to live according to wisdom. And for you who are single, just because you're not married doesn't mean God might not still use you to help people. Romans chapter 16 speaks of Phoebe. She was a deaconess, but she was a helper of many. A helper of many. So first of all, we live according to knowledge. And notice what the Lord says in his word, chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper. And notice he says, suitable for him. The term suitable could be translated according to the opposite of him. You go, that's marriage, right? I'm going to give you someone who's completely opposite. And that's not exactly what it's saying, but the reality is according to the opposite. It speaks of a counterpart. A counterpart. The parts work together, but they're part of you that works together. We'll see when you're one flesh, we'll see what that is. And obviously, God took wife out of the man, as we'll see in a minute. It is a divine helper. Suitable, it's just what you need. You've got to understand that. If you don't understand that, you're going to be in trouble. If you're dwelling with your wife according to your own wisdom, you're going to be in trouble. We'll see. Your prayers are blocked. So again, now why would Adam need help before the fall? Think about that. What does he need help in? Well, we know that God wanted him to subdue and rule over creation, chapter 1. This non-laborious blessed work of the garden, chapter 2. Right? Tending the garden. And certainly they needed help in taking care of the offspring, as we'll see. So there's certainly those things. So with this in mind, Scripture reveals that wives are a companion and a suitable helper. Are you living according to knowledge, husbands? Let her help you. Now, I don't have time to go through the rest of Genesis here, but let me just share how the Lord brings this about. Look in Genesis 2. Verse 19, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed out of every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, it was his name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and all the birds in the sky, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. The animals didn't do it. They didn't do it. They were not a suitable, corresponding helper. And notice verse 21. God had to knock Adam out of the picture here, by the way. And that's what you need to do when you're thinking about being married. Get out of the picture. Just seek the Lord and let Him provide. Genesis 2:21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took out one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned, literally says built, the Lord God built into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. Very interesting. He obviously breathed in the breath of life to the woman like he did to the man, and he brought her to the man. And look at Adam's response. And the man said, literally, if you remember when we went through this, literally, at last, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. All these animals, all this naming, it wasn't that. She wasn't there. At last, she should be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And then look at verse 24. We have the commentary. For this cause, because woman was taken from man, this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. More biblical knowledge. Cleave to your wife. The Hebrew word cleave means glue, basically. Stick to your wife. And there's all different connotations there, and they're all correct. So, we see the reason here. We are to live according to biblical wisdom. You know, Jesus shares this in Matthew 19, that what God has joined, let no man separate. He uses the same verse from Genesis. Paul uses this in Ephesians chapter 5, the fact that we are in union together. We are one flesh. We need to dwell according to knowledge. And Paul uses this in Ephesians 5 to reveal, thus we are to love our wives because of that, because we are one, as we'll see. And it's just like a picture of Christ the church. Turn to Ephesians 5. So this is knowledge we need to dwell according with. Because she's part of me, then God says and gives me this knowledge what I'm to do. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. There's biblical knowledge. He himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything. More biblical knowledge. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. And he says, how? Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. In the same way, we see that Jesus submitted to the Father's will, which was to go to the cross and die for us. In the same way, obey God's word in relationship to those around you and your wife. Love her. Obey God's word. And he says here, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing in water with the word, that he might present himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Then look at verse 28. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their what? Own bodies. You know, we love ourselves. We take care of ourselves. That's just a reality. There's a reality. We have a priority of ourselves, right? We see that. As we love our own bodies, he says here, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. There's an imparting warmth. There's a feeding. We nourish and cherish. He says, in the same way, just as Christ does the church. And that's a mystery. But we are to do the same thing because we are together in this amazing way that God has ordained, this one flesh. I don't understand it totally, but because that's the case, based on the paradigm of Eve coming from Adam, we are to love our wife. She's part of you. Live according to knowledge. Live according to knowledge. He says here, because we are members of his body, verse 20, for this cause, here's our verse, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, the two shall become one flesh. So we have this mystery of the church, obviously, but it's based on a physical illustration of husbands with their wives. Live according to biblical knowledge. Live according to biblical knowledge. That's what we're to do. She's a companion. She's a helper. She's part of you in God's sight, one flesh. Love her. Obey the Lord. You husbands, likewise, back in our passage, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she's a woman. live according to knowledge. She's a woman. She is different from you. She is different from you. She's actually in a position that God has ordained of submission. You better treat her right, as we'll see. She is physically different than you. We are commanded to live according to knowledge, according to biblical knowledge. Again, God made her a woman, not a man. God designed her specifically with specific roles. We need to understand it and live accordingly. We need to live according to wisdom. Now notice there's a second command here. This is really important because we might see, because of the role of a wife, we might lower someone's value down. And if we do so, we're sinning greatly. Look at what he says here back in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, verse 7. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. Now here's our second command. And grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. This is really important. This is really important. Dwell with according to biblical knowledge. And there's a lot more biblical knowledge than what I shared. I can't share all of it, right? I shared some highlights of biblical knowledge, right? But then he says, grant her honor. The term grant is a present participle. Be continually granting her honor. Be continually granting her honor. The term grant speaks of assigning something. You're assigning something, as we will see, in your mind. And that assigning is honor. In your heart and mind, you are granting her, assigning her honor. The term honor speaks of fixing a value. You're granting her honor. You see, we better understand God's word in relationship to wives. Just because their role is different, we better not think that they are demeaned or inferior in any way. If we do, we're in deep trouble. We are to assign our wives continually honor. We're to do that. Now, obviously, we're not perfect. We need to confess when we don't, and we need to then move forward and do it and assign our wives honor. And notice why we are to assign her honor. See this as a fellow heir of the grace of life. The term translated fellow heir is really co-heir, or translated joint heir, like in Romans chapter 18. Joint heir, someone who inherits something. We have both together inherited something. We have inherited something. And you are to assign her honor because of what she has inherited. Now, there are some Bible teachers that are pretty good, but I would disagree with them here. They say it's speaking of life in general, that the grace of life is life in general. And I would say, I don't think so. Because, first of all, we're to honor all men, chapter 2. We know that. This is a special honor. Okay? Every human being we'd certainly honor. They were all created in God's image, whether they're saved or not. But the word grace is what gets me, and the word joint heir is what gets me also. Everyone is obviously created in God's image in this life. But Peter consistently uses the term grace in the context of salvation. It is God's favor towards us, which we do not deserve, that came in Christ. We are fellow heirs of the grace of life. I believe it's speaking of eternal life. We inherit eternal life. We don't inherit life on this earth. We inherit. Bible speaks of inheriting salvation, inheriting this. It's eternal life. It's eternal life. In part, grant her honor. See her as extremely valuable in your heart. In your heart first, and thus in your actions. She is so valuable that Christ shed his blood for her. Don't treat her any less. Extremely valuable in God's sight, and thus in ours. You see, when it comes to salvation, we see personhood rather than position or role. There is an equality across the board in salvation. Role means nothing. We see it's a person. Turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. He says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So the idea of being baptized into Christ is actually when we believed in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God placed us into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So he's speaking about believers. And he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs, according to the promise, heirs of eternal life. It doesn't matter whether you're a woman or a man. The playing field is completely leveled in Christ. We are all sinners in need of salvation. And anyone who has trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is a joint heir of the grace of life. There may be different roles in marriage, but in terms of personhood, we are the same. Before Christ, grant her honor. You see, if we don't live according to an understanding way and we don't grant honor, then there are some serious consequences. There are some serious consequences. So with this in mind, what are we to do? We are to, first of all, be living in an understanding way, according to biblical knowledge. We need to know the Word of God. We need to have it in our hearts as we dwell with our wives. You cannot live with your wife according to biblical knowledge unless God's Word is working in your heart on a day-in and day-out basis. Secondly, we need to be granting with an internal heart attitude that assigns her honor. No matter how she is, she may be the worst wife in the world. She may be the best wife in the world. It doesn't matter. If she's come to faith in Christ, we are to grant her that extreme honor, obviously. And certainly, if she's not a believer, we are to honor all men, as we saw back in chapter 2. And that women, obviously. And then notice, if we don't do this, something's wrong. Something's wrong in our relationship with the Lord. You see, because the way we treat our wives reveals where our hearts are at, where we are at with the Lord. Look at verse 7 again at 1 Peter 3. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, or according to knowledge, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, or literally the feminine. She has the characteristics of a woman. She's a woman. And grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. And here you go. So that your prayers may not be hindered. The reality is, this word translated hindered means to be blocked, thwarted, impeded, cut. The reality is, if we do not do these things in the context of relying on Christ, like he did to the Father, depending on him and trusting ourselves to him and then doing what is right, our prayers are cut. They're cut. If you don't grant your wife honor in your heart, your prayers are cut. If I don't grant my wife honor in my heart, my prayers are cut. That means my relationship with God is completely severed, not in terms of salvation, but the relationship. I can pray all day long. Sometimes you wonder why God doesn't hear your prayers. Maybe this is it. Psalm 66. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord does not hear. Live in an understanding way. Confess when you don't. And start living again in understanding. Dwell with them. Grant honor as a fellow heir, a daughter of the King, so that your prayers may not be hindered. What a horrible thing. A true believer praying, and prayers totally cut. God chooses not to listen because of the sin in your life. What a horrible thing. Severed. And what's the sin here? Not dwelling according to biblical wisdom. Not granting honor in the context of relying on Christ. Not a mechanical view. We've had people here that have been very mechanical. They take the mechanical parts. This is in the context of trusting Christ. It is exactly as he entrusted himself to the Father. He obeyed. Husbands, obey. And we need to realize this is convicting. We need to confess where we failed. We need to move on. We need to trust the Lord and do these things. No matter what our wives do. No matter what happens around us, we need to do these things. And if we haven't, we need to confess. We need to confess. Some might say, well, you don't know my wife. No excuses. Some might say, well, she's not a very nice person. Now the wives could say the same thing about husbands. No excuses. The reality is, if you disobey what God says here, your prayers are blocked. That's just the reality. Now, on the contrary, this passage implies that when we do what is right, our prayers are going before the Lord. And we're going to see that. Look a little farther on in verse 8 where we see the summary of all this. The summary of all these things, which we'll look at next week, Lord willing. The summary of all these relationships, marriage and submission and what Christ did. The summary of all them. Look at verse 8 right after there, that your prayers may not be hindered. To sum up, let all be harmonious. This is biblical knowledge. Sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. Here you go. This is in real life. But giving a blessing instead, for you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile, and let him turn away from evil and do good. Summing up these relationships, right? Do it in the marriage relationship. Do it in your work relationship. Do it with the government. Do it in any submissive relationship. Let him seek peace and pursue it. And here's why. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. We fail, we make mistakes, but when we trust the Lord and obey him, his ears are attentive to our prayers. His eyes are towards you. When you're not obeying, it's cut. Is there any area of disobedience anywhere that needs to be confessed? Any area? Now, specifically for husbands here, these two things. We need to confess and be right with the Lord. You see, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Righteous being that Christ's righteousness is coming out in us as we trust him and obey. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James chapter 5. No matter what is going on in your marriage, husband or wife, God attends to our prayers when we are obedient and submissive to him and what he said. So then, what are husbands to be? We've seen today that we husbands are to be continually dwelling with, we're to be with our wives. And according to biblical knowledge, specifically in relationship to them being different than us. They are women. And what God has revealed concerning women in his word. God made her as a companion. Let her fulfill those needs as she trusts the Lord. God made her a helper, a suitable corresponding. Let God help you through her. She is part of your own flesh. Love her as you would love yourself. Nourish and cherish. And don't forget, her role does not make her inferior to you at all. In any way, shape, or form, honor her as a fellow heir of the grace of life, that your prayers would not be cut. Well, men, how are we doing? I believe it's safe to say that if we're not convicted, something's wrong. Because this is what we should be doing. And we need to confess our failures. We need to confess and obey the Lord as we trust Jesus Christ. Women, how are you doing? We saw your role last week. How are you doing? Are you adorning your heart with Christ-likeness in the context of gentle, tranquil submissiveness? How are we doing? You see, it's when we behave righteously in Christ that the world sees something different. And God might open opportunities to bring redemption to those around us who do not know Christ. And often that might even be our own families. Have we stumbled our families through our relationships? Or have we been a light of Christ's righteousness before them? How are we doing?
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, for that person who's struggling, what would you tell them?
I would tell them, Dave, simply that if they're still struggling after hearing these messages, that something's in the way, that there's some sin or something that just needs to be confessed. You see, if we confess our sins The Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we just confess our sins, we're set free to obey the Lord. And yes, there are struggles, but as we trust the Lord, He enables us, as His word works in our hearts, as it dwells richly, He enables us by His power and strength to obey. And when we obey the Lord, there is peace and there is blessing.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.